This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 25th of August 2015 on Monocle 24.
Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. Today I'm joined by Laura Snapes, Senior Editor at the Pitchfork Review, to go through some of the week's new music releases. On the show today, we have a new album from Kate Le Bon's latest project, Drinks. We'll discuss Canadian indie rocker Destroyer's new record, Poison Season. And we'll end up with a bit of pop as Carly Rae Jepsen releases her third LP, Emotion. That's all coming up here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Laura Snapes, welcome to the programme.
Thanks for having me.
Fresh from Green Man. Can we say fresh from Green Man?
I'm clean.
From Green
yes.
Man. Okay. I'm not casting any aspersions on the quality of the air in the studio. You have made it only more temperate and lovely by walking into the studio. What are we going to talk about first? Destroyer.
Yes.
Talk us through Destroyer. Is this an apt name for this sort of...
I mean, when you read interviews with him, he's kind of a bit of a self-saboteur. He really likes to come across like a curmudgeon and talk about everything he hates and about how he tries to destroy all the beauty in his music. So I guess in that sense, it is kind of apt. But when you actually...
He's just an editor then.
Yeah. When you actually listen to it, I mean, the sense I got from this new album is almost like a very curmudgeonly man who's kind of admitting to actually having quite romantic tendencies.
Okay.
He's been a member of the New Pornographers. He's been releasing solo records probably for coming up for 20 years. I haven't checked exactly. But it wasn't until his last one, Kaput, that he actually got like pretty big, which that was like this amazing, really yacht rock, kind of soft rock album,
yeah.
Really luxurious and like, you know, velvet everywhere and shirt unbuttoned a bit too much kind of sound.
I know the look.
Yeah.
So it's one I favour myself as Monocle's own Rod Stewart. And does this build on Kaput then? Is that what this one does? Or does he try to sort of kill some darlings with this record?
He's still reaching into the past, but I think he's kind of moved on in time a little bit. It kind of reminds me, it's like a very 1975 New York record. Like, it reminds me of David Bowie's Young Americans and also, not this is necessarily New York-y things, but Joni Mitchell's Hissing of Summer Lawns and Coney Island Baby. Like, it's a romp, whereas the last one was kind of like a real slip down easy kind of thing. This is very kind of like big city, romantic, wild kind of sounds. It reminded me a bit of Laura Nero as well.
Okay. God, I love the sound of it. And I'm sure our listeners are chomping at the bit for an excerpt. This is one of the three versions of Times Square, and the LP is called Poison Season. It is Destroyer.
The writing on the wall said Jesus saves. The writing on the wall mentions honey playing a game with the way. Follow a rose wherever it grows, so you could fall in love with Times Square.
And that is a bit of Times Square, new from Destroyer. The record is called Poison Season. That's one of three versions of that song on their record. While that was playing, Laura Snapes was telling me that I think this is the one that's the most regular pop song or rock song rendition of that song. So what are the others like, and why on earth would you put three tracks of the same... three versions of the same track on the same LP?
Maybe this is where the band name comes into play. the opener is like a very beautiful, tender piano-led version, and then the closer of the album is kind of a more histrionic, cinematic, like full of strings kind of thing. He said in an interview that this version, the version that we just heard, he made that, and that was the one that came out most naturally, and he was like, I couldn't let it stand alone on the record as a simple pop song, and that's his least favourite version. So he had to put on the other ones as well.
Exactly, why not? I suppose that's it. And as an album, does it sort of hang together as an album? Is it kind of made to be an album? Is it
the
requisite 45 minutes long? It's not too long, it's not 17 tracks or something?
No, I think it's only about 8 or 9 tracks,
yeah.
And it was the same on Kaput as well, and it does flow really well with the... with having Times Square in it three times, it's almost like the narrative arc of a film or something. Or I feel like this album has this very New York City kind of vibe, and I suppose it's like walking around and seeing the same billboard again in different streets, just kind of that familiarity.
Yeah, well, if it's good for Neil Young to put Hey Hey My My twice, on Freedom, that was okay. We can handle that. And you also said something really lovely while the microphones were switched off while we were listening to that, which is a great idea. You said walking here, you had it on your earphones, and between the brim of your umbrella and the horizon, you felt like it could be New York City because you were listening to that. That's a good recommendation for a record, isn't it?
It's really, really fantastic. It's very absorbing, and I have only gone surface deep. I'm sure if you read all the lyrics, it's really, really, he goes deep.
He goes deep. Okay, that is Destroyer, and the record is called Poison Season. It's out on August the 28th on Dead Ocean Records. We're going to move on to a new collaboration. This is Kate Le Bon and Tim Presley from White Fence. I love Kate Le Bon, Welsh songstress, moved to LA, right? And
yes.
She's kind of done. So what do these two, are these people coming from very different parts to form this collaboration? Easy for you to say, Robert Bound. Or how does it work?
Well, I think that, you know, both of them make kind of slightly psychedelic music. You know, psychedelic is such a broad church that that's kind of a futile thing to say.
Is it a church at all? I mean, I wish if it were, then it's got two new congregations. Yeah, exactly.
I forget which one, but in Kate Le Bon's band, she has the touring drummer from White Fence. He made the most recent record with her, and so now she's hooked up with Tim Presley. I think it is very much an LA thing. I read this interview where she said the whole like ethos of the collaboration was the two of them sitting together in a room playing guitar and laughing into each other's faces. And it's very much, you know, unlike that Destroyer record, which was pristinely crafted in every sense, this is a wild record. It's not necessarily easy listening. There's a lot of freaky kind of sounds in there. The first track is kind of like a bit of a red herring. You hear it and you're like, well, this sounds like a lovely, jangly kind of 60s psych song. And then from that point onwards, it's almost like listening to the John Peel show kind of in fast forward, where you hop between like really weird different sounds. And it's like, oh God, I can't get a handle on this. But all the way through it, just it sounds like they're having a really good time. And you can like that sense of fun really comes out.
Nice. Well, I think we should have a listen. It's called She Walks So Fast. It's from the new record, the first record by Drinks. And that's called Hermits on Holiday. That was called She Walks So Fast. It's from the new record by Drinks, which is entitled Hermits on Holiday. I like the sound of that. It sounded very much like Kate. It sounded like sort of Kate Le Bon learning to write a song. It sounded like Prinzhorn Dance School trying to write a kids' TV theme.
Yeah, maybe.
That's what it sounded like to me.
It reminds me a bit of like Captain Beefheart and Faust as well.
Right, yeah. It's got some of that in there. And is that sort of representative of the record? It sounds almost, as I said, without joking, it almost sounds like you're listening to them making a record. It sounds like you're listening to rough cuts and bits and bobs as well.
This is definitely one of the more abstract moments on it. There's another song that might come after this one, actually, called Tim, Do I Like That Dog? Which is Kate Le Bon just asking Tim Presley, do I like that dog? Over and over again. And the music is even weirder on that one. But I don't know, I just find something kind of very fun and shambling about it. And I really love, I don't know White Fence's music so well, but I really love Kate Le Bon's music.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Destroyer, she's somebody who makes like very beautifully crafted music. So it's nice to hear her just kind of tear it up a bit and be silly.
And I like the fact that, to be honest, I love the fact that records like this exist.
Mm-hmm.
That you are hearing people like in all good maths exams showing their working, perhaps.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That you're seeing some of the rough edges, you're seeing, and it's always lovely, I suppose, if it's a collaboration, to hear them talking to each other, to hear them kind of bouncing ideas off each other almost, you know, as lives kind of thing. It's quite rare, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, indie collaborations aren't that much of a weird anomaly these days, but it's quite rare where you get one where the two things added together become totally different from the sum of their parts. You wouldn't listen to it and instantly be like, well, that's that bit of a Kate Le Bon song and that bit of a White Fence song. They have come up with something quite unique.
It is weird. It is wonderful. It is called Drinks, and that is a collaboration between White Fence's Tim Presley and Kate Le Bon. The album is called Hermits on Holiday. We played a little bit of She Walks So Fast. We're going to end with Carly Rae Jepsen, the Canadian popstrel.
Mm-hmm.
You can say popstrel, can't you? It's rare that you get to say it's popstrel, but I guess that's precisely what she is. She of Call Me Maybe fame. What is happening here? So the record's called Emotion. We're going to listen to a track called Run Away With Me. Maybe we'll have this first, and then we'll talk off the back of it. This is Run Away With Me, Carly Rae Jepsen. That's called Run Away With Me. It's from the new album called Emotion by Carly Rae Jepsen. Laura Snapes, what do we make of this? This is as clear as the pure driven snow. Or is it?
Well, I think with Call Me Maybe, you know, Carly Rae Jepsen was pinpointed as kind of like a young teeny popper. She's a bit older than kind of most pop stars. I think she's about 30 or so. And so I think this album is like her very deliberate move to kind of make slightly more grown up, credible pop music. Because the problem with Call Me Maybe was, you know, it sold millions and millions of copies, but the album it came off sold fewer than 300,000 copies in America, which, you know, is not a good exchange rate. So I think with this, she wanted to take more control. And so I know that she wrote something like 200 songs for it with like a huge variety of different collaborators and then boiled it down to 12 for the actual record. And it is, you know, it is a much more grown up record. There are still some lyrics that kind of read a little bit coy, but then there are others where she makes her intentions a bit more plain.
And this is the thing. So her, I mean, it's the maybe on Call Me Maybe, which is the sort of, which is the coy, her coy stock in trade, you might kind of say. And this one is it a bit sexier? Is it a bit more straightforward? Is it, what is it? Is it just the fact that she's nearer 30 than 20?
I don't know if it's necessarily that. I mean, the lead single on this record is called I Really, Really, Really Like You, which is kind of a very obvious attempt to remake like Call Me Maybe. Yeah. It's that quite cutesy kind of thing, and it's a good song, but it is kind of, you know, a bit of an outlier in the course of the context of the record. She does so many different kinds of things on here. Like that song there reminds me of like M83. A lot of the arrangements remind me of bands like Skritti Palitti. There's kind of soft rock. There's a song on there which is co-written by Rostam from Vampire Weekend, which is called Warm Blood, which is like one of the most beautiful kind of like understated bits of synth pop you'll hear this year. And her, like her vocal delivery, I think, is just wonderful. I you know, I've seen some reviews that said that including the one on Pitchfork that said that she doesn't have a lot of personality as a pop star, which, you know, I can listen to this album. I don't really know a lot about Carly Rae Jepsen's life. I've read a couple of interviews with her, and the main takeaway people seem to get is she's very nice, which isn't a big selling point for a pop star. But the thing that I really like about it, you know, I like Taylor Swift and a lot of other big pop stars, but when you listen to Taylor Swift and Rihanna and Beyonce, it's like their name is branded across the whole thing. Mm. You're constantly aware, like, I'm listening to a Taylor Swift song, and this is about this boy that she went out with. Whereas with this, you know, the video for Runaway With Me is really nice, actually. I think it was made by her actual boyfriend, and it's a very lo-fi kind of thing, the two of them running around like Paris and Tokyo, I think. But you never see him, you just have his vantage point, and so it's almost like Kylie Rae Jepsen lets you be her boyfriend or girlfriend. And that's the thing that I think is really lovely about this album. You get to be in the middle of it, and there's none of that like branded pop star baggage. Unfortunately, I feel like it might stay this way for her, because it doesn't look like this record is going to be particularly successful. It's going to be a victim as well of like staggered release dates. So it's already out in Japan. I think the release date we're marking it as is the US one. It's not out in the UK until September. So I don't know, staggered release dates always say to me like the record company doesn't have a lot of faith in this.
It's okay, yeah, it's a lack of confidence.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, let's see how it does here, let's push it here, da, da, da. Is that to time people's public appearance, to the stars' public appearances and stuff as well, to be able to do the promo schedule for that?
I mean, maybe, but I always think it's suicide, because with, you know, with an artist like this, who obviously Call Me Maybe is massive, Carly Rae Jepsen is not an underdog really. But breaking away from that kind of more teen pop flavour and moving towards like a more credible grown up thing, you're going to shed some fans in the hope of gaining some new ones. And if you're releasing your album in the UK a month and a half after it's already come out somewhere else, all your really dedicated fans are already going to have stolen it off the internet, which is what I did until the record label sent me a copy, because I wanted to hear it so badly. So, you know, I think you are shooting yourself in the foot a little bit. But I think some of the singles haven't been picked up by radio, but I really hope people give this album a chance, especially, you know, if you wouldn't normally buy like a pop album. My boyfriend certainly would not like put a Taylor Swift album on for fun, but he's asked me for a copy of this the other day.
What's happening to Carly Rae Jepsen, Taylor Swift? You mentioned Beyonce. There's stuff that is kind of should be for kids, but is getting rave reviews in the likes of Pitchfork and the serious press and music press. Is it the company that these clearly very talented artists are keeping in terms of their production team, their songwriting team, or are we just going through a moment when there are people that have kind of grown into kind of a really sort of mature songwriting and performing period?
Well, I think it's hopefully that, you know, critics and gatekeepers and stuff are realising that it's very silly to look at pop music as being something that's just for kids, because, you know, there's exactly as much, if not a lot more, craft that goes into making something like this record than like some shambling indie band doing something in their bedroom in Dalston. You know, there's so much joy to be had from this music. It's totally credible on its own terms. It doesn't matter whether the person singing it has actually written it or not. But yeah, you know, as pop's cachet has risen, these people have been writing, you know, artists that, like you just mentioned, have been writing with, you know, quote-unquote credible people. Like Carly Rae Jepsen has a song with Dev Hines on her album, and I think he's worked with Solange and stuff. But yeah, I think it's a positive that people are kind of getting a lot more open-minded about this stuff.
The rebirth. And the reason we were talking about that was because we were reviewing Carly Rae Jepsen's new record. It's called Emotion. We heard Run Away With Me from it. Before that, we heard from Drinks, which is Kate Le Bon and Tim Presley from White Fence. And that record is called Hermits on Holiday. Always good, kind of weird. You can tell what that's going to be like just by the name alone. We kicked off the show talking about Destroyer's new record. From it, we heard Times Square. The LP is called Poison Season. It's difficult to pick a winner from that, isn't it?
Yes.
Let's not pick a winner. Or would you like to?
Do we have to pick a winner? Yeah. I've definitely listened to the Carly Rae Jepsen one most obsessively for 2 months solid.
Okay. She's worn out the needle on it. On her stolen internet copy.
Yeah.
You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review. Our reviewer was Laura Snapes from Pitchfork. Thank you very much for joining us. The show is produced by Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow for our theatre review with Matt Wolfe. But for the time being, I've been Robert Bound, and thanks for tuning in.